Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What is wrong with Kerri-Ann Kenley? We will discuss this and much more on today's big program of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Day. She's gone bonkers.
She's very cross at Bill Shorten. If he gets in, she's had it.
Cocoa bananas.
She's out of
here.
We'll
play you a bit of that. We're going to do an election update. There's lots to get on. Apparently, Tony Abbott's giving out his phone number.
I think he is. He's chasing down people who aren't going to vote for him.
Adam Rosenbarks will be joining us live in the studio. We've pulled him back in. He's basically been on a junket drinking beers in bars all around Australia and doing diddly squat.
Well, he is our political correspondent.
Yeah, well done.
From one extreme to the other, we're chatting with Stan Grant today, and he's written an amazing book called Australia Day. We're going to chew the fat with Stan.
That will be worth listening to. I want to get his thoughts on the election and obviously Australia Day and everything else. Indigenous.
Yeah, no, he's very
we need
very
to talk about
writer.
Right now.
Good guy.
Hey, there's loads of stories floating around. Did you know that Uber are going quiet? Quiet mode. We'll talk about it.
That's very interesting.
A little later on the
Belle
show.
Gibson's back in court.
Well,
and it's been a bit of a circus. We've got a few things to report back from happening today.
Well, we'll get into that in just a second. I'm going to woof a charco.
Wow, that sounds revolting.
It's a chicken taco.
Ugh.
What?
Is it like a chicken schnitzel? As the shell.
It's it.
Ooh,
hey,
I feel my heartburn coming on.
Where have you been all my life?
Have we said Dave O'Neill's on?
Dave O'Neill is coming in.
Excellent.
And so much more to wade
through.
Oh, my God,
so much. How are we going to get through everything?
Well, we'll just have to buckle up.
Ooh, we will.
And get through it. Hello, Jane.
How
are you?
I'm
you
good.
Mentioned Belle Gibson. I've been in court all day.
You have?
Following her.
You've been following Belle Gibson. She's not on your
for
list
support.
Of desirable
she's
ladies.
On my list.
Yeah, she's on there.
Well,
she's on my list. Anyone who fakes cancer is a hottie.
She's borrowing a bit of cash still.
Mate,
and I'll tell you about that.
$410,000 fine she cannot pay. She says she can't do it. And when asked what she's blown all her money on, she said sports bet.
Now, this is now, seems bizarre
just when
to
I
me.
Thought I couldn't like her anymore, she loves
she's
to sit on the couch
in,
and have a wager.
She is your ideal lady.
She is fantastic. And cryptocurrency.
Oh. We'll hear about that.
Well, that's got Mick Coyne.
Well, it has.
That's got Mick
Coyne. She's right up your alley.
Here's a question for you about Belle Gibson.
Yeah?
What happens if she actually ever gets cancer?
Oh.
Who would believe her?
Well.
Oh, I've got cancer.
Well, tell us another one. But maybe the stress she's going through. Stress is can cause
cancer. She's stressed. She needs a loving arm. Can she go to jail?
Yes, she can go to jail.
Oh, that's interesting.
She can because she's fraud. It's been
conjugal.
She's committed fraud.
She's under a lot of stress. Her fake cancer could come back, and that would be disappointing for all concerned.
I would imagine that will.
Keep your chin up. Belle Gibson, we're behind you.
She'll be okay, don't worry.
There's a lot of people out there who support you. No, because look, everyone's allowed a mistake. And look, sure, faking cancer.
That's pretty big. It's pretty high.
That's
up there.
A game changer.
That is
in
a
my
game
book.
Changer.
But I mean,
I've got news on
it's
another.
It's more about who we are as people and our willingness to forgive.
Well, it seems we're a very kind generation.
Well, you're nice. You said rather uncharitable things about her.
I've got more to say about it. Don't worry about that. Mr. Fine.
Anyway, we'll follow this quickly.
Hey, your
sports bet.
Your KFC heiress is out and about.
Hello.
Out what? On the town.
What's she doing?
One of those girls that's
well,
on
your
list.
Which one? Not Tammy Ingham?
No.
Was it Lucy Steggles, is it?
No.
Not Lucy Steggles.
No,
don't tell me Lucy's.
No, it's the one from overseas. Again.
Oh, okay. This is Met for Ken.
Oh, from the KFC family.
Yeah, the KFC.
The Kentucky
Oh, from the richest family in South Africa. Oh. And she has her own lingerie range, and she is a chicken heiress.
She
ticks a few boxes.
Yeah. Does she fight cancer?
No, but she was seen at I don't know who Dawn Miller is, but she was at her birthday party in the Hollywood Hills.
She looks good.
She looks good. Yeah, she's stunning. You always want to have your chicken heiress looking hot on your arm.
I'm kind of in Belle Gibson's camp at the moment. I really do feel...
It's so busy.
Well,
Samantha Markle came out. She's talked about the new baby.
Well, I feel sorry for Samantha Markle because her former husband's remarried.
Samantha Markle.
Yeah.
Her former husband got remarried.
Isn't that right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, interesting.
No, I actually thought Meghan Markle's husband got remarried.
Oh, was it? See, I just well, it's all in the family. Was it Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle.
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting nodded at out there.
I was going to say.
Oh, so Samantha Markle's never been married?
Oh, she's still on the market.
I could be the first.
Yeah.
I could be the first.
She has been.
Mr. Yeah. Markle. She has been.
I'm pretty sure.
Who was
it? Are you willing to push her around in her wheelchair?
I'll let her ties down. Prepared to do that.
How do you feel about the NDIS?
I'm a big fan. All right, let's get on with it. When we come back, I want to talk Game of Thrones. I want to talk Uber.
All right.
Excellent. Out. And Robert De Niro.
Okay.
All here thanks to HSV. By the way, the Chevrolet Silverado does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Oh, we were talking about Belle Gibson before.
Belle Gibson, yes.
I would just wanted to add to, it's one of the more interesting court cases that I've come across lately.
Yes.
Prosecutors were...
By the way, this has been blown all out of proportion. If...
Oh, no,
we've all faked cancer.
410,000. She said she can't. We're now talking about why she can't pay her bills, why she can't pay the $410,000 fine. Okay.
Do you know what? We need a GoFundMe page, Dan.
No, we do not.
Let's. Can we set one up here?
Don't you dare. Don't even say it. Some stupid people will do that.
A GoFundMe page for Belle Gibson.
Well, let me just.
We all chip in and help out.
Let me embellish what she's been doing with her money.
She's a good egg.
Prosecutors were quick to point out that her financial records.
Yeah.
Showed she maintained active cryptocurrency, Mickey coin,
Bitcoin.
And sports betting accounts in recent times, right?
No, that's the way to go.
She said she didn't provide any statements for that because, quote, she didn't think that it was an investment to have crypto coin.
Right.
Okay. She then revealed she lives and her 8-year-old son live with a 46-year-old man named Clive. Now, it's not a 56-year-old man named Mick, is it?
How dare you? But I don't like the sound of this, Clive.
Okay.
Are they in some kind of relationship?
Well, let me continue.
Oh.
Gibson claimed to not know what Clive does for work, but confirmed he does pay their rent when she can't. And she stressed vehemently the pair were not in a relationship, so you're safe.
Oh, coast clear, Mickey. So there's a strange guy called Clive living in the house. She doesn't know what he does.
He pays everything.
Rent. Yep. They're not in a relationship.
Correct.
I love this woman.
Okay. Here's another thing that Belle does for ways to support herself. Government entitlements and completing odd jobs on Airtasker. So next time you want ciggies in the middle of the night and you go, Airtasker, get me my ciggies, it could be Belle Gibson.
You've ruined it for me now because every time I call Airtasker, I'm going to be just hoping it's Belle Gibson.
You're going to be disappointed.
Knock, knock, knock.
She's seriously
a good egg. A GoFundMe page.
She does not recall how much she was paid for a 60 Minutes interview, which apparently was around $75,000. She can't remember that. Her memory lapses.
Oh, you're too
bad, a bit of a recurring theme here. She said
she needs help. Her fake cancer's back.
She couldn't. She said some of her friends owe her around $100 for asking her to pick up bread and milk.
What a
they still haven't paid her back.
They're just deceitful.
Yeah.
Isn't that dreadful?
New friends.
Hey, can I change gears just quickly?
Yeah.
Uber. I know you're a fan of the Uber.
Mm. Yes.
Dave.
Yeah, Uber Eats. I get a lot. Yep.
All right, did you do that for Mother's Day? Did you? I'm still getting over, and people have been coming up to me and going, did Dave really go Indian?
What's wrong with that?
That is like, you may as well go. No, Indian's not special, mate.
Of course it is.
Yes, it is special.
Thank you, Jane. 46, the number 22.
No, the Rogan Josh, your butter chicken.
We're not playing for the Papadams.
Your naan bread.
You are, mate. Man. It's a special occasion. It's
mango
not every
lassi.
Weekend.
What did you expect?
He should have gone, like what? You do, hoity-toity, top end of town.
Oh, no, don't do that. Although it's very nice.
One night of the year, mate, and you can't.
I'm a strictly suburban operator.
The local
right?
Indian.
Yeah.
Oh,
we loved it.
Did you split the bill?
No, I paid.
Did you split the bill? You paid.
For the whole
jeez,
thing.
What a chivalrous
$96
man.
All up it cost me.
I rest my case. How many of you there?
Four.
That's pretty expensive.
Oh, that's a special night out. Happy Mother's Day. You're a great mum.
That's very nice. And
yeah, leave a tip.
This is dangerous. It isn't Dave's mother, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, but
Jane.
He's doing that for the
he's doing for the kids.
Yeah, so for Mother's Day. So if your family got together and took
don't talk about my family.
Took you down to Denny's, you'd be okay with that.
Happy with
that. Denny's.
Yeah.
I'm in. Like Hardee's.
Well, I don't know if I've got time to do this now. Quickly. Uber.
Oh, yes, you have
so
got time.
So I'm talking about Uber. They've introduced a new service called Quiet Mode.
What's that, Mick?
Well, it means when you book it, you can book Quiet Mode, which means when you get in, the driver's not allowed to talk to you.
Oh,
no talking in a car, and you just sit there and go about your business.
Well, that's something that you would do.
Well,
but I wouldn't because I'm a bit nice and, you
woman
know.
Woman of the people.
Probably something that Stefanovic should do. what are you requesting? Quiet mode. Yeah, real quiet mode.
That would have been handy.
But don't you reckon that's a good service?
I think that's incredibly rude.
What do you mean?
To order people not to speak to you when you get in a car.
Don't you ever do that?
No. What do you say to someone in a car? I don't want to talk.
Excuse me.
How do you say it?
It's okay, but I really need some Mickey time.
What do you mean?
Do you seriously ask people?
You say g'day, though.
Yeah, I do.
Just please, do you mind just stop?
Sorry, I'm not a Cathy have a chat. Just keep your eyes on the road.
What a grump.
Let me know when we're there.
Well, let's have a look at your Uber rating in about a week.
Well, my Uber rating is not flat.
There's no way I would press that.
You would love a quiet mode.
I would.
I tell you, you got in, the driver would want quiet mode. The driver would go, I've seen you and your girls.
How dare you?
I've seen you and your girls out and about.
Oh, that's enough of you. The Uber drivers like chatting to me.
Yeah,
they do.
So. All right. Well, there it is. Hey, when we come back, you've got an ad you want to showcase.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
Hey, what about Uber? You just concentrate on getting the car to the joint on time and make your map believable. Make the track your driver
there you go.
Believable.
Yeah.
So stop pretending to stop and pick up other people.
Yeah.
Stop.
You've got to stop going UberX. That's your problem.
I don't know. What's UberX?
Okay.
What is UberX?
I'll explain in the ad break.
All right. Okay, great. Hey, what's the ad? We'll talk about it in a second.
Well, it involves Robert De Niro.
Good
it's
Lord.
Horrifying.
Coming up next.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
One of the disappointing things in actors who have illustrious careers is when they start doing advertisements and endorsements.
Hold on, what? What are you saying?
Of all people, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro?
Oh,
really?
Yes, he's currently...
Goodfellas Robert De Niro.
Yes.
Godfather's Robert De Niro.
Yes.
One of the greatest actors of all times, Robert De Niro.
Correct.
What's he done?
He's now pushing bagels.
Wow.
It's bagels called Warburtons.
Yep.
And can I just play it for you? Because this is just ridiculous.
Fire away.
Okay.
Mr. Warburton, Robert De Niro's waiting.
No, I'm not. Jonathan, what do you call this? Bolton Bakes Best Bagel? My butt.
Well, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to bake bagels.
I'm not done. Me and my New York associates, we've been thinking, who's this skinny kid muscling in on the bagel business?
Skinny, that's awful.
I'm still not done. You got a nice family business here, Johnny boy. Very nice. And it's given me an idea.
New Warburton's Bagels. Don't forget about it.
Forget about it.
I like it. It sounds funny to me. Don't
Will
you
that
think
make
that's
you buy a bagel?
Yep. Warburton's. Want a bagel right now.
Have you ever had a bagel in your life?
I've never had a bagel. But don't you think that at some point... Now, how old is Robert?
Oh, he's about 70.
I would suggest 70. To you that there's a point when you can do what you want. If you want to bin $1 million on a bagel ad, why wouldn't you?
Sure.
So what are you saying? Is you saying this affects his legacy? This affects the way you're going to think about him?
Yes, it does.
Well,
maybe that went when he went in those films where he was the family.
Oh, yeah, the Fockers.
The Fockers.
Yeah.
Although he acted very well in that.
He was very funny.
Well,
he was very funny, actually.
He's not the only one.
He's not. There have been some other endorsements by well-known actors and
Roger celebrities. Roger Federer is one for me. Roger Federer, who I didn't like anyway. You know my beef.
I know
with
you
him.
Don't like him. You think he's a cheat.
He's a cheat.
That's unreasonable.
Well, it's not. And then he goes out and he starts advertising, of all things, pasta. Where's he from?
Oh, although he does Barilla pasta. He's from Switzerland.
He's from Switzerland. Yeah, what do you know about pasta?
He does pasta, but the one,
we're not doing that one,
the one that we thought was ludicrous was the Uniqlo.
Oh, the jeans.
This is where he's actually playing the piano.
He's actually playing the piano in this, and just cop your ears around this.
I could only think of tennis and nothing else when I first started. Once I began taking time for myself, that's when I truly started winning. My time off the court is just as important as my time on. Because tennis is just the beginning of my story.
Get off!
I'm just getting started. My life, my jeans. Authentic jeans with all-day comfort.
I love him.
You love him.
I think
he's the world's most
You know,
boring
I've met him.
Man.
You know, I've chatted to him about twins. Yes. I had a very intimate audience with him.
Interesting.
It wouldn't have been interesting.
It was interesting.
The guy is not interesting.
He is
possibly the world's most boring man.
That's rubbish. And I challenge you to a dinner.
The most exciting thing in his life is receiving a cow.
Oh, you're mad.
From the right. Swiss.
All right. Well, let's have a dinner. You, me, Federer.
Oh, will he get on the piano? As long as he's playing when I walk in the door.
He might do that.
He's going to cook us some Barilla pasta.
You're so rude about him. I just want to add with that Barilla pasta ad.
Yeah.
Can we just play a little bit of it and then we'll cut it? It drives me mad. I'll tell you why. Listen.
Sei pronto?
That's enough.
Okay.
They're playing Zorba the Greek. It drives me mad every time I see it for
Italian pasta. He's Swiss. Pasta's Italian. And that's frigging all over the shop.
I don't get
it. What about Ozzy Osbourne?
Oh, yeah.
Ozzy.
Now, were you disappointed in Ozzy when he did his ad for
No, because this is like gold. This is hilarious.
Right,
but I don't think he meant to be hilarious.
Here we go.
I'm really digging this cooking vibe, man.
Okay, pass me the butter then.
All right, man. I can't tell the difference.
Tell me about it.
Good.
And that's how you make fairy cakes.
Fairy cakes!
I'm the Prince of Darkness. I'm doing rock cakes.
Yeah, me too, man. I can't tell the difference. Can you?
Tune has any memory of making
None at all.
And I think he might have been buttering some dope cookies or something.
There have been some very famous ones, haven't there?
Gough Whitlam.
Oh, now what did
one.
He?
Lego's pasta sauce.
Oh, did that's he? That's right.
My favourite one I remember was David Beckham did an ad for Vodafone, and I always laugh my head off because in the ad he's down the shopping centre laughing as a guy comes up, puts his arm around him and takes a selfie without asking, and I'm going, oh, you'd just love that, David.
That's brilliant.
If you tried that in real life, eight of his minders would kick you to death. I guarantee you.
And that's what,
You know where this is all heading?
Where?
There's an ad by Al Pacino. Is it a fake one? Was it from a movie?
Okay. This is the movie Jack and Jill and by, what's his name? The comedian, come on. Jack and Jill gets, and he plays the brother and the sister, and it's really annoying. It drives my kids
Sandler?
Mad. Yes, Adam Sandler. Okay. Sorry, this is this is an ad that they have in this movie.
All right, this is where it's all heading, people. If we don't stop it now, we're one step away.
Wow! Al Pacino!
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
What's my name?
Dunkachino.
It's a whole new game.
Dunkachino.
You want creamy goodness? I'm your friend. Say hello to my chocolate blend. Attica, ooh, I lucky light. This whole trial is out of sight. What's my name?
Dunkachino.
Dunkachino.
Kill for a Dunkachino.
really, he does that well.
All right. Exactly. Hey, when we come back, we've got more to wade through. There's some fast food deals
updates
on the table that we need to get to.
You're driving in your car.
Yeah.
And you're feeling a bit peckish? Stand by.
Say hi to the Charco.
Yeah.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Keep in touch with the show outside the show. Kennedy Malloy.
Lady Gaga advertised Polaroid.
Did she?
She did. Snoop Dogg, Hot Pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what did you just find?
Jerry
reminded
Seinfeld.
Me of this, and I remember this. This is a classic.
So, in Newcastle, the Greater Building Society, back, I think when he was touring, it might have been the late 90s at the end of Seinfeld.
So obscure.
He was touring, and I think they just asked him, and it's like a one office in a small town.
Yes.
It's a mutual society.
Yeah, the Greater Building Society.
And he did the ad.
Did the ad.
You got it there?
Yeah, but listen.
When it comes to your money, you don't want great, you want greater. It's like maximum. When I go to a drugstore to get pain medication, I want maximum strength. Figure out what will kill me, and then back it off a little bit. Where are you from?
Here.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
The Greater Building Society has one of the highest customer satisfaction ratings in the world. If you want to know why, speak to an expert. Ask a greater customer.
Anybody here from Wagga Wagga? Don't miss me next week. I'll be in front of the laundromat.
They even were able to sort of use some of the music, the vibe from his
Seemed like it too, wasn't it? Yeah.
They've done very well.
God,
that's
well
done. That's what you call a good get.
Yeah, you bet.
As they say in the classics. Now, let's move on to food news. Still, people, I'm getting lots of calls about Dave having his Mother's Day dinner.
That's not an issue.
At his local Indian.
It's not an issue.
It's a very nice gesture.
Did you eat
gesture.
In at least, or did you pick it up and take
did.
It home?
We were thinking about Uber, but we went in, so yeah, we...
Actually, went to the restaurant.
Did you say whatever you like, it's yours, or did you order as
what, usual? To start with, some samosas?
We did have some samosas.
Papadums.
And naan bread.
And a butter chicken.
And some mango lassies. So, you know, we went all out.
Did you have any wine or just have the mango
Liz
lassies?
Liz and I had a Corona each. Nothing says Indian like Coronas.
You really do know how to wine
really,
and dine your lady.
We're dissecting the whole menu here, by the way.
Straight back to the Tampa for some...
A little bit of...
Right, I reckon you'd be lucky after the Indian dine.
Careful.
Yeah, Dave, did you ever think of offering to get the missus a charco?
I don't even know what that is.
Mate, this is going to be perfect for your next Mother's Day.
Yeah.
It's a cross between chicken and a taco. Okay. So it's a taco, but it's like a, how would you describe it?
It's a Parmesan chicken, but it's sort of folded up
to form the taco.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And you just fill it with all the stuff you would normally put in a taco, like, you know, salsa, lettuce, tomato, and grated cheese.
Oh, this is KFC?
Yes, but they've only introduced it in one country in the world, in one city in the world, in Manila, in the Philippines at the moment, to test it out. I don't know why people in the Philippines are the guinea pigs
I'm going to have to go. Normally when I go to the Philippines, it's as a sex tourist, but now it's got to be to go and grab
you can still do both, buddy. Still do both.
Oh, you have a charco.
Have the fun. And your ping pong balls.
What is wrong with you both? I've got the commercial from the Philippines if you want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
It's the Charco Taco.
Hola, señores. Les presento. The new KFC Charco. No shell or chicken.
What? No shell or chicken.
Oh, that's not so good, is it?
Hey.
Do you know what it says, though?
I had a charco. Do you know what I do?
Charco makes me feel sick. The word
I'd like
charco.
I'd like to have dinner now with Kalia Methven.
Yes, the chicken heiress.
And we can...
charco down.
Woof a couple of charcos.
In the Philippines.
Get into it.
In Manila. Hey, do you know what? They also say you can get it with fries and a drink or fully loaded, which includes chicken and spaghetti.
What do you mean?
Where the hell? I think you put spaghetti.
Oh, my God.
Spaghetti in the charco.
That's just sickening. Yes.
In the charco. You one-stop shop.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of KFC.
What?
Oh, this guy has become a hero around the world.
Okay. What's your story?
Okay. This is a young guy. He's 27. He goes to a university in South Africa. For 1 year.
Yep.
He dressed in a suit and claimed he was head office of KFC. He would arrive in a limo to KFC branches. Driven by mate, he'd flash a fake ID card and said he was there to make quality assurance checks on the food.
Oh, this is gold.
So he would go
He'd wander around the kitchen, barking out orders.
He would try, and everybody said, the staff members have said, we all tried to act our best because we didn't want to piss him off. He was so convincing and confident, he'd rush to the kitchen, take notes, and get heaps of food because he said, I've just got to test it.
I need some
and make
samples.
Sure.
I'll need
and I'll take
I'll
some
need
away. Yep. I'll need
pie,
some Zinger burgers,
potatoes and gravy,
popcorn chicken.
That's genius.
Not the coleslaw.
Gravy.
I won't be needing any coleslaw.
And mash. Bung it all in.
I'll need some moist towelettes.
He finally got stung after a year. That is
a year.
And what's going to happen to him?
Well, I don't know.
They should actually make him the real guy.
Yeah. Well, they
should. He would know what he's doing.
He's been tracking well. And a Twitter post revealing his trick has gone viral, so you can look that up.
I love it. All right, there's plenty more to get through, but we're at length. We've got to get to our next guest. He's been sitting out there listening to our rubbish.
I hope he hasn't been listening.
I hope he hasn't left. the impeccable Stan Grant.
Next.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
From real life to CNN and now at the ABC, Stan Grant has spent 30 years in the media contributing to the national conversation.
This is a great country and my people still suffer in this country. And if I can make a contribution to that, then I think it behooves me to do that.
In recent times, he's written several books and delivered some powerful public speeches.
My father, who lost the tips of three fingers working in sawmills to put food on our table because he was denied an education. My great-grandfather, who was jailed for speaking his language to his grandson, my father, jailed for it.
And as a descendant of an Irish convict and a proud Wiradjuri man, his latest book, Australia Day, looks at who we are as a nation from both sides.
Look at the question of how in Australia we live with that fraught history set against the reality of the country and the greatness of the country that we live in today.
Please welcome to the studio, Stan Grant.
Hey, Stan.
Hello, Stan.
Lovely, guys. I barely recognise myself. Thank you for that.
Well, it's a complex backstory.
Yeah, it's a fair bit going on. And it's an Australian story, really.
It sure is.
And this is what I'm saying in Australia Day. You know, it's like I land right in the middle of all that. All that on Australia Day, all the stuff we celebrate and all the stuff we protest, I am right in the middle of it. Black, white, all of it, you know.
Stan, I've been known to go the blub on this show often. And it's not often they have people on Triple M cry a lot.
Stand by.
It really affected me when you said that about your father and about your grandfather. Mm. And that is a world that I hope we are still not living in, particularly in Australia, or
sadly,
are we really? God, that makes me feel awful.
We have to. It's this thing in Australia that we live with all of this privilege, and it's an incredible country, right? I mean, you talk to anyone
there's
overseas,
not a lot to bitch and moan about on the on the big stuff, is there?
And you talk to anyone overseas, and we're the envy of the world.
Yes.
And yet, the first people of Australia, the people who are descended from the first people of this land, are the ones who die the youngest, who are locked up in the greatest number. We have 10-year-old kids committing suicide.
Oh, Stan.
10 times more likely for an Indigenous kid under the age of 15 to take their own life. And why in a country as remarkable as Australia?
You must get frustrated. We all get frustrated with the lack of progress in this department. There's been a lot of big claims and there's a lot done. I notice there's an election on right now. It doesn't come up often. Like Indigenous issues.
It never does.
And this has been...
And that must be frustrating.
Franking credits seems to be what the nation's fixated on.
It's
how do we change that? How do you... I mean, obviously, the work that you're doing and this book, which we'll get to in a minute, helps reframe the conversation. But what do ordinary Australians, what do people listening to this show right now, how can we help turn around
Little bit more optimistic in some respects, because I think there's this great phrase that politics sits downstream from culture. The people change move before the politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that I don't take my lead from the politicians. I think a lot of them don't speak to us.
That's a very healthy attitude to have, I would think.
But listen to the majority of Australians, you know,
right,
who are on board with things like constitutional recognition. They're on board with things like treaties.
Where do they get their voice, Stan? Where do they have their voice?
This is the problem. I think it's a grassroots movement. I think that anything that's going to change for Indigenous affairs means that we have to bring, we're 3% of the population, right? We can't bring about that change on our own. But we bring the other 97% with us, and then we've got a force for change. And we see that all the time. You're going to have Dreamtime at the G soon here.
Yep.
And you're going to have people marching into there for reconciliation, cheering Indigenous players on. There is a groundswell of support that we can tap into, and we take it away from the politicians. We demand the change. Yep.
Can I ask, would you ever go into politics?
No.
Do you feel you could
affect
more change outside of politics?
I like the freedom of being able to write and say what I want. I don't know that I'd work well in that sort of environment where everything is so road tested and every slogan and every phrase is sort of massaged to within an inch of its life and you can't speak your mind. And I worry about
waiting for a gotcha.
I've been torn about it because you do need people to get in there and make that change and make that difference.
And you have profiles.
And
so
I have that,
that.
And I've been approached to do it in the past. And if I was a bit younger, I might do it.
Can't you be an independent, Stan? Come on.
But right now, I think I like doing what I do.
All right. Now, the title of your book, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been, wouldn't have raised an eyebrow to call the book Australia Day.
No.
Now it does. And what does Australia Day mean to you?
Look, it's many things to me. It's a day when I do celebrate everything that's great about Australia because, you know, I lived overseas for almost 20 years and I covered the worst of the world. Wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, terrorism throughout Asia, seen revolutions and, you know, the worst of the world. And this is far from it. This is a remarkable country. So I do celebrate that, but I also acknowledge that there is a deep wound.
Totally.
A deep wound and that we haven't resolved it. We can't reconcile everything. We can't make the past go away. We can't erase raise those deep wounds, but we can make things
totally
right.
Agree. It's a no-brainer.
Make it right.
If you want to celebrate this country, can we have it on a day where we can all
and where we
enjoy
don't
it
offend and, a whole and, culture of our people, where we think, don't upset people.
And I think we'll get there. And I think even the day itself right now, January 26, no one really comes to that day unaware of its history.
It's a Barbie stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Australians are pretty open to this. As long as I get my public holiday and I get my Barbie, I'm open to any date you have.
We can move it.
Let's be honest, that date is not an historical one that goes back through history. It's like about 20 years or something.
Only 20 years or so since it's been a national holiday.
Come on, people, we're better than this. I found out, you might be able to confirm this for me, that actually federation in this country was not based around this unifying principle that we wanted to get together.
It wasn't at all.
It was to repel the Asian hordes. It was to go, we need a unified front to somehow...
One of the first acts of Parliament was the White Australia policy.
Yes.
So, you know, we've always had this fear of what's coming from the outside, but I come back to this idea that the people move before the politicians and the people are better than the politicians. And that's what makes Australia a great place for me.
Well, what are you watching? Obviously, we're in the campaign trail. We've only got a few days to go. What's your vibe there?
I think, look, the polls are saying Labor's going to win. I suspect they will. I don't see any great movement swing back to the Libs. But I think the thing that's going to be really fascinating is how many people actually vote for either of the major parties. Mm. I think a lot of people are so cheesed off. They're looking for alternatives. The independents are getting a big run. You know, the minor parties.
Do you think it's been worth Clive spending all that money?
Well, Clive might think it is. I don't know how successful he is.
Pay your workers,
I think
Clive.
There are people who are waiting to be paid.
Pay
exactly.
Your workers, mate.
Exactly.
You're on tonight at the Athenaeum in Melbourne. That'll be good. A fascinating discussion. Who's on with you?
With Nam Lee, who's a great writer, wonderful author. We're going to be on there talking about what it is to be an Australian, from a Vietnamese guy to an Indigenous
how
guy.
How cool. The book is called Australia Day by Stan Grant. It's out now.
You talk a lot of
sense, beautifully
Stan
written.
Grant.
Thanks, brother.
Good on you, mate.
Good to see you, mate.
Stan Grant joining us here. This is Kennedy Malloy. Coming up soon, Dave O'Neill. Then it's our political reporter, Adam Rosenbarks.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Midnight Oil on the Living End in the middle of Australia, the Big Red Bash.
Brilliant.
Giving you the chance to be there. Oh. Keep listening. And also go kennedymalloy.com.au to enter online.
We slept in a swag next to each other one night,
didn't
we? Really? Under the stars.
It was
big brown land.
Quite beautiful, apart from the belching coming from...
I beg your pardon.
Jane.
I didn't go to sleep all night.
Didn't you?
No. It was me and 11 men. And a bunch of wild brumbies about to crash through.
A bunch of wild brumbies and some nightlife crawling around.
Correct.
The stars were beautiful.
It was very nice.
And there was some good storytelling.
There was.
Mainly from me. While I told the Indigenous people
You and the Dreamtime talk. It's just so memorable.
It's all good.
Congratulations go to our own Kate Miller-Heidke. She has soared into the Eurovision Grand Final. And everybody seems
What's
to
that
be...
mean?
She has soared because her act is on the high wire. Basically, she's floating on a big wobbly wire, big stick, really high.
Tells me the song's terrible. She's trying to pull every trick out of the book.
No, it's Eurovision, and you've got to make impact both with song and visually.
Have you seen it? I'd like to upskirt her. Because there's about
15 skirts to get through.
There's about 20 stories.
She's 20 stories high. The semi-final was in Tel Aviv and she got through. And here's a snippet of what she's going to be singing in the grand final.
That's actually for my last prostate test.
No, this next bit is. Hang on. Bend over, Mick. There you go.
Easy.
Oi! Okay. Australians will be able to view the grand final live on SBS at Set Your Alarm, Mick, 5 a.m. Sunday morning. I know where you'll be. I'll ring you.
I still feel it should have been this.
Just so Australian.
Just when I'm trying to class up this show.
We'll be back with Dave O'Neill.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to be a cracker, let me tell you. Coming up shortly, the worst political correspondent in
that's
the history
ever existed
of covering politics. Adam Rosenberg, who I don't know. I want to see the diary. I want to see some receipts.
I agree.
Who reckons he was in Adelaide and then Launceston, and he gave us no information from either of those cities. So he was on a bus with some politicians.
Sure he was.
I've heard it all before. We'll get him in.
We got a bit to talk about Kerri-Ann has lost
Kerri-Ann
lost her tiny mind today on Studio 10. And also Tiny Abbott. He's starting to give out his mobile phone number to people.
Well, please give it to me.
Sure.
I promise. No prank calls after four.
All right.
Hey, we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Dave O'Neill thinks he's been keeping up with the election campaign, but we're not so sure.
I turned it on. I think it was it. Bill Shorten was on a dragon. I don't know what was going on. ScoMo was made of ice. Did you see Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
No one saw it.
I couldn't see it.
No one saw it.
I couldn't see anything.
You do watch it, but it was dark for you.
Oh, man, it was like you're going to camp and left your torch at home.
Please welcome back our good mate, Dave O'Neill.
My God, it's so good to have somebody here watches Game of Thrones.
I love Game of Thrones.
Oh,
are you happy or disappointed? Apparently, there's 10,000 signatures on a piece of paper, including some disgruntled producers.
People are
on
demanding the final series to be rewritten because they don't like it. They don't like where.
I mean, it was never going to be a fairy tale ending, I would suggest, from what I've heard.
Last series, the whole thing is finishing.
But you want it wrapped up neatly in a little bow?
Don't look at me with your beady eyes when you say that.
It's a big job, isn't it, to wrap that whole. There's so many storylines and characters.
Oh, I think they've done well. Guess what? Mick reckons he can just. He said, I reckon I can jump in at any time and I'll know exactly what's going on.
There's only one dragon left. Two are dead.
What happened to the other two?
Spoiler alert. They died.
They got sold off to SeaWorld.
It's not a great advertisement or testimony to the power of the dragon, is it? Two down, one to go.
I was just worried about the direwolf, the dog, and Jon Snow. If people say, have you been upset by Game of Thrones? He left his dog behind. That's the worst bit.
He sent it to the northern part.
Yes.
Jon Snow, what's his story?
He's a good-looking bloke who got killed and came back. Spoiler alert. He came back, though, in the last series.
Was it all a dream? Was it like that series of Dallas?
The Red Lady made him come back.
Guy Pearce's wife. Yeah, made him come back.
Oh, you've got my attention now. Who's the Red Lady?
She brought her tits out a lot, didn't she? She's a Dutch actress.
The only reason I almost started watching Game of Thrones because I heard at one stage they were actually hiring porn actors to play roles.
The whole way through.
Oh, you're probably in the brothels and stuff.
Oh, yeah. All the people that were happy to walk around full nudity.
There's brothels.
Oh, good Lord.
You could play Littlefinger.
Brothel. Don't let Littlefinger anywhere near the brothel.
He used to run the brothels.
Oh, good Lord. So we've got dwarves, brothels, Littlefinger.
A lot of drinking.
And lots of violence.
Dragons.
I'm going to go home and start binging on... On season one, hopefully I'll be up to speed by next week.
It's a good show. Speaking of TV, I was on TV on Monday night. Did you catch me?
Don't brag.
I know you were on. I was your opposition.
What were you on?
I was on 20-1.
Oh, were you really?
What were you doing, mate?
Oh, well, have a listen. This is what they kept promoing, this bit here of me.
It's like herpes. You can't get rid of it.
That's the only bit of me they used.
And where was it from, Dave?
I couldn't even remember.
Was it Hey Hey, It's Saturday?
When I kept watching it, and my partner goes, that's disgusting. What are you talking about? I said, I can't even remember what I was talking about.
It sounds like you've got herpes.
It seems like it was a big of experience. They used it in a promo.
What were you doing going up against the big guns? Have you been paying attention with the Mickey bump?
I know, the Mickey debut bump.
Somehow I don't think that Dave has a hand in programming Channel 9.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I know you're very important.
It was about the U2 album. The U2 album that got dumped into your phones automatically. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, hey, speaking of music, we did this on the show yesterday. Jane bought this to the table. What is it? Six live gigs or concerts
you've been to, and one is a lie.
All right. Do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
Ramones. Ooh. Air Supply. Ooh. Bob the Builder Live. Craig McLaughlin. Check 1-2. The Sex Pistols.
Oh, you're good.
And The Little Heroes. One Perfect Day. Remember One Perfect Day?
Perfect day.
All right.
We'll be out walking.
Okay.
Someone is calling me.
I'm going to...
Okay, the Ramones, Air Supply, Bob the Builder, Sex Pistols, Little Heroes, Craig McLaughlin.
I'm going to say the Sex Pistols.
No, you know you would have seen for Sex Pistols at Festival Hall when I saw them second time around.
Second time around.
Ramones.
No, I saw the Ramones.
Ah. I'll go Bob the Builder.
No, nah, cool. I've got three kids.
You would have seen, you would have taken your wife to see Air Supply.
You've been to Air Supply.
She didn't like Air Supply. I went with your friend Chrissy Swan.
Oh, you did. Yeah. See, I knew you'd seen Air Supply.
I love Air Supply.
Yep.
Well, it's Craig McLaughlin.
What made you think of Craig McLaughlin?
I don't know. Hey Mona, what a great song.
Hey Mona.
We're going to go to a break when we come back.
Can we play Check 1-2 now?
Have you got it?
We'll find it.
We'll find some for you.
We'll come out of this with Check 1-2.
Oh, this is it.
It's close.
It's like herpes. You can't get rid of it.
Dave O'Neill with us.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dave O'Neill in studio as well. You're talking about Little Heroes before.
Yes, please.
I found it.
One perfect day, we'll be out walking.
Great song.
Biggie.
Something is calling me.
I got Dave, this will get you. Craig McLaughlin, Check 1-2.
Hey, Mona.
Mona.
Now, this was massive, wasn't it?
It was huge.
Mona.
And didn't it go big like in London or somewhere?
Yeah. I remember the film because he was in an open car
in a huge
and playing, strumming the guitar.
With the shirt off.
With his long curls.
What if it happened
to times.
Anyway.
hey, okay. Election's coming up. There's an election in full swing. In full swing. How are you finding it? Because you, I know, take it very seriously and have, at one stage, run for government.
And it's on your Wikipedia page.
It is. I stood for the seat of Gellibrand, which Dangerous Dave lives in. The safest Labor seat in Australia used to be, and I was an independent. I had my campaign was called the Party Pie Party, and cost me $500 to register, and I had to get 50 signatures of local residents, which was really hard.
That is hard. Did you have to go door knocking?
No, I left it at the fruit shop and then the bakery. And then I took them down to the thing, and the guy goes, some of these are fake. So they check them all up on the electoral roll. So I had to go back out there and get more.
On the hustings.
Yeah, on the hustings. And then I was doing it as a joke. It was like a joke.
What were you doing at the fruit shop? That's all I'm thinking about.
That doesn't seem like you.
Doesn't sound a character.
Doesn't add up. They used to sell licorice as well at the fruit shop. They sell lollies. Anyway, so, and then, but then what happens is that the Greens, everyone gets wind that you're standing, and they want to, the Greens ring up and wanted me to go to the debate with them. To go to a debate.
Tell me to get stuff.
Oh, someone came around my house and wanted to talk to me about my policies from the ALP. And the Green says, so what are your policies? I said, I don't really have any. They go, you must have some. I said, all right, this is my policy. I want to concrete all the railway lines and turn them into autobahns. the guy goes, okay, I don't think we can give you our preferences if you're going to concrete.
Wow, did you even get as far as people talk about preferences?
Yes.
Sounds very mature.
Yeah, they wanted to do a deal with me. But I said no. Oh. But anyway, I got lost at less than 2% of the vote and I didn't get my deposit back.
You'd be like a bit of a Clive Palmer. Did you run ads? Did you get?
I wouldn't say that.
I could be, yeah. Well, I love Clive. It's funny, we're watching Clive the other night, and my partner said, look at him, he's disgusting. He's just like a big fat bogan who says whatever he likes and doesn't care. Imagine being like that. I'm like, yeah, what would that be like? Mick, do you know what that'd be like?
No idea what you're talking about, mate. That's all very good.
Anyway.
You're heading to Byron Bay, too.
With Glennie.
That sounds good. Glenn Robbins.
Friend of the show, Glenn Robbins. We're doing the Byron Bay Comedy Fest. And Peter Osthorne.
Oh, wow.
They've got a whole...
Oh, what a road trip.
...selection of shows, and we're getting up there. Have I told you... I know you love a Glenn Robbins story.
I do.
Yes, please.
So, you know, I put out several books, and I was in an op shop one day with someone, and they said, oh, my God, your book's over here, and you've written in it. And so I go over there. It's my book, right? Yeah. And I've written it, and it says, Dear Glenn, thanks for all your help. Cheers, Dave. Glenn Robbins, the book I gave to Glenn Robbins, yes.
That's disgraceful.
So I rang him up, and I said,
That's
mate.
That's so funny.
You know that book I gave you? I just found it in an op shop. And there was a pause, and he goes, oh, yeah, I was robbed. And
and the thief very dutifully took it to the
op shop.
To the op shop.
I will say, you're going on a road trip with Glenn Robbins. I toured with Glenn Robbins.
I know.
And let me tell you, it's
he lives on the edge.
To get any kind of action after a show.
A lot of cups of tea.
The only fight I saw backstage on tour was between Jeff Stilson and Glenn Robbins over an uneven amount of tea bags. We had five tea bags, and there was looking at each other going, well, who gets the fifth?
Did you also ask him to iron your shirt every night? He used to
iron my shirt.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He used to come in and he'd eat on the shirt. And here's what he did backstage. He hates me telling this story. But we were up in
Cairns. Then don't tell it.
We were up in Cairns, and it was really hot, and we were in our backstage area, and there's, you know, a fan, a rotary fan going, And we're all sitting in the room, and Glenn comes up and farts behind it, and it just goes and turbocharges it throughout the room. Three people jumped out the window, and Glenn Robbins thought that was just an hilarious.
And strangely enough, I understand why Glenn did not want that
story told
on national radio.
What's he doing up there in
Byron?
Byron.
Yeah, he said we're just doing a show together.
Mm.
Yeah. A comedy show.
He's going to do some surfing. He thinks he's a really good surfer.
Thor's up there. Chris Hemsworth wants to meet him. He's a big fan. Thor's a big fan.
See, you're disrespectful to Glenn, and Thor respects him.
Yeah, watch out. Don't go near an open fan, Thor.
Let's see your superpowers work on that.
see the hammer's answer to this.
See the hammer melt.
You can hear on your podcast.
Thor wants to meet him.
Somehow related.
No one wants to meet me.
You can hear Glenn and Dave.
Billy Zane, who played the Phantom, wants to meet me. So remember that movie?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I know Titanic. Billy Zane. Come on.
America's Greatest Hero wants to meet me. What about now the debrief? How's this for some breaking news?
What?
We're all doing a gig together on the weekend.
Saturday night.
Adam Rosenbarks, Dave, myself, Sam Pang.
I've got a terrible feeling about that.
It's a fundraiser for Belle Gibson.
It's a fundraiser for Belle Gibson.
That's what you can say.
All money's going to Belle Gibson's sports bet account.
I've faked obesity for many years.
But we might have a go at recording a debrief.
Yeah, we will.
On the way back from the gig.
Pang, Rosenbarks,
Rosie
and me. Oh, what a team.
Hey, we'll have to go the long way.
Have the tape recorder works.
Hey, good on you, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our political correspondent, Adam Rosenbarks, not too far away.
He's been out doing stuff for us. He went on the road, yes. Mm. Was there any correspondence? None that I'm aware of.
You want to see the logbook, don't you?
I want to see the logbook. I'd like some opinion about something.
Well, they've got a political correspondent on Studio 10.
Oh, yes.
She might be a little one-eyed.
She's a bit off the charts.
Carrie Ann's just gone.
She's gone bonkers.
Bereft this morning.
What is wrong?
Well, she had a bit of an attack on Bill Shorten, and she's very worried about what's going to happen if Bill Shorten gets in as Prime Minister. Shall we have a listen?
Let's have a listen.
Okay.
If Bill Shorten gets in, it is the end of life as we know it. Labor government spend, taking money retrospectively, as they will do, that franking credits. I had to Google that. But franking credits, this is the way self-funded retirees, not to leech off the government pension, they look after themselves. They've got that plan. He's going to rip it off them. He'll put in negative gearing. No more investment into houses, so your rent will go up. Anybody who believes they're going to be better off if Shorten and the Greens get in is under some whoopee-doo cloud. It will never, ever happen. You will tank.
Wow.
Well, she says it how she feels it.
Okay, can I just say this?
What?
It will be the end of life as you know it. It's possibly the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone ever say about Bill Shorten, who's so middle of the road. Even by Labor standards, it's not left. The end of the world is...
Clive Palmer. That I'd be worried about.
So... stay in your lane, Kerri-Anne.
But I think she's obviously head up about it.
I'll do your homework.
Well, her homework was corrected. In fact, she had quite a lot corrected because the Labor Party did email her with a few corrections. She did go on to say strange things like, one thing I'm seriously outraged about, the millions and millions they'll spend on gender commission. She's a bit concerned that children will be able to just assign themselves a gender. And then Labor did set her straight on that. Said, no, we're not going to be doing that. That's not one of our policies.
She's gone bonkers.
Well, she's allowed to.
Well, yeah, but I'm not allowed to criticise her.
You're allowed to criticise her.
Because that's my role too.
Yeah,
but I think she's some of the most inane political commentary I've ever heard.
Well, it's upset her a lot.
She should run with Clive Palmer. There's a ticket.
She should have a go and join One Nation.
She sounds like that's her preferred party.
Well, what about Tony Abbott?
What about him?
Okay, so he saw in the Sydney Morning Herald a few weeks ago, there was a comments of a doctor who was living in one of the most flashiest streets and suburbs in Sydney. And he said he'd voted Liberal for 25 years, but now he wants Abbott out. So Tony Abbott went, bugger it, I'll call him.
Crikey. Oh.
So he'd missed the call and Tony rang and said, here's my number, give me a call. And they had a good chat. I'm not sure I persuaded him, but we had a good chat, he says.
Tony Abbott's giving his phone number out.
That sounds a little worried to me. Zali Steggall is in the seat. They're going up against him. So
very good. What about Paul Keating yesterday coming out? His comments. Oof. Do we have those there? Yeah. I really do this. This is a Peter Dutton. Now, whatever you think of politics, Peter Dutton stands to the very right of things. Paul Keating
and has made no bones about it.
Made no bones about it. That's who he is. Yep. He's in the true sense of the Liberal Party.
Yep.
He's
conservative.
He's in the conservative corner and he's on record. And down the other end, you've got Paul Keating, probably the most revered living Labor leader, one of the all-time greats. Under him, there was, deregulisation and Medicare, all this stuff came through. One of the giants.
And articulate as a speaker.
Reasonably good when it comes to throwing hand grenades into a room.
Yeah.
Here's Paul Keating on Peter Dutton.
I joined the Australian Parliament 50 years ago this year, you know. In those 50 years, I've never seen any public figure as mean or mean-spirited as Peter Dutton. And at this election, those electors in Dixon have a chance to drive a political stake through his dark political heart.
Cool. Isn't he just doing what
I hope they do.
Tell us what you're thinking, Paul. Cool. Is there another one there? I think there might. Is another quote? No, that's it.
I don't know if Peter Dutton had right of reply to that, did he?
I'm sure. No, he did. There was he put out a statement.
He put out a statement saying that Paul Keating's policies and as treasurer were responsible for helping to send his father out of business. So there you go.
One all. When we come back, hang about for Adam Rosenbach. This will be a political intrigue.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Keep the promise of Australia to Australians.
Do you think I give a stuff about what you personally think?
You're a classic space invader.
And I couple all the time and I'm sick of it.
Very nice, very nice.
We're on the road again.
Live from the campaign trail, please welcome our political insider.
We're on the road again.
Adam Rosenbach.
Is he though?
Yes.
Is he our political insider?
Hard hitting.
Hello, Adam.
Welcome. Hello, Adam. I'd like to think you are.
We got you live in the studio just to make sure you were doing something. We have not convinced that you have in any way participated in this.
You've seen a lot of politicians.
I've gone all around the country. I've sat
been in a lot of lounges.
In the campaign buses. I've gone from hotel to hotel. I'm like a cowboy on the steel horse I ride. And I've followed our two people who are going to be going to come down to. Yep. So Shorten and ScoMo. And I take umbrage at the accusations that you are flinging at me that I'm not a hard-hitting political journalist.
Mm.
Right.
Well, you've written some questions here for us to ask
you. Yeah, so I brought in some questions and I'm not afraid to answer you throw my way.
Fire away, Jane.
Yeah, go for it.
Who had the best bus?
Good question, Jane. Very good question. Mm. I'm going to go with the ScoMo campaign. They had leather seats, there were PowerPoints, and it had two doors. Right. So, you know, door at the front, door in the middle.
Yes.
So you didn't have to go all the way up the front. It's luxury a lot like that the communists in the Labor Party won.
Do you know the best bus trip I ever took when I was a young Mr. Kirkham was our music teacher at school. We had to go to Glen Maggie Music Camp. And he hired a minibus to take us all up on school camp.
Yeah.
So he drove there, but he drove there the whole way in first because every time he went to change gear, all he did was open and shut the hydraulic door.
That's why you get an automatic car.
So ScoMo for the bus.
Even though
he was never on it.
No, they never came on our bus. They had their own buses in ScoMo.
Yeah, but he didn't even go on his own bus.
No, I know.
Yeah,
loser.
Okay. All right, question two. Who was the most boring?
Okay, now, each had their own points that they kept labouring. Shorten was all about the economy and climate change, and ScoMo was all about first home buyers and taxes, that Labor's going to tax you. But I went to a school in Gosford on Monday to follow Bill Shorten around. Now, if you're in high school, the one thing you want to do is get out of class.
Yes, that's true.
It doesn't matter what is on. You just go, we're out of class.
Yes.
Don't care who's there. Bill Shorten bored these students so much. So he kept going on like these girls were praying for algebra to come back. So he kept going on about quotas, saying that they are trying to reach a 50% quota of women in the Labor Party, which is a good thing.
You're doing well, Labor Party. You don't have to bang on about
it. Exactly. And all the girls were there wishing that 100% of Bill Shorten would piss off.
Very good. All right. Who had the lamest line you heard?
Okay. So Bill Shorten kept banging on about chaos, and then the ScoMo and the Liberals, they kept talking about how
Bill Shorten is the bill that Australia can't afford, and you can't trust Shorten. But they had this line at his the Liberal Party launch on Sunday.
You went to that in Melbourne?
Yes, and see if you can make sense of this. So they were talking about how you can't really trust Bill Shorten, and they said, Bill Shorten, not even the cleaners at Clean Event could trust him.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I still can't work it out.
It is the lamest line.
Clean Event could trust him.
So what does that mean?
Well,
maybe the people at Clean Event are very untrustworthy people. Well,
I wouldn't be saying that.
Who had the better security detail?
I'm going to say since the egg, ScoMo did, because...
Post-egg,
because when we were at the school...
Security was tightened. I was a code red after the...
It really was. You couldn't get anywhere near him. Like, at the school...
It was like post 9/11.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal that she got that close, isn't it?
Oops. And missed.
Mm. Yeah. How do you miss from there?
I have no idea.
Girls throw, that's what I'm saying.
That's what she should be locked up for. But Bill Shorten, he was mobbed at the school we went. So he had a security detail. He was surrounded by hundreds of young girls. And, like, I'm playing a long game here, but just say ISIS decided to enrol a jihadi in East Gosford High School years ago, just on the off chance
yes.
that Bill Shorten might arrive there, they could have easily assassinated him.
That's
know what I'm
right.
saying? And so they just let the ball down. Can I just ask you?
The cleaners at Clean Event.
Yeah, you can't trust. They're more trustworthy than that.
I can't work out what they're thinking.
We'll think about it. Let's think about it.
What sort of
Give
car do you reckon ScoMo drives around in?
A what?
What sort of car do you reckon ScoMo gets around in?
Batmobile.
Hold on.
No, he'll have a... a Lexus?
No.
But like an old Lexus.
No, he gets around in a BMW.
Does he?
I thought it should be. Yeah, it should be like a HSV Commodore, you know? Hot it up.
Should be.
On its guts, darkest legal tint.
Will we ask some more questions when we come back? We'll keep going through these.
Well, let's go through. Yeah. Which team had the best nodders?
ScoMo's team. Shorten's team just looked like they were getting a photo taken in the 1800s. They were just staring into the distance.
Needed a pitchfork, did they? Who had the better hotel?
Shorten. The Hilton in Sydney. I cleaned out that minibar. I don't know who's paying the bill on that either.
We are.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I cleaned out that minibar.
Well, thanks for that.
And the last question we've got, which bus was most likely to end up in a late night sex romp?
Oh. ScoMo's.
Oh, that's judging by the participants on board.
Yes, I believe so. And also, you know, they're hearing from a Christian preacher, and, you know, you just got to cut loose at the end of the day. You're sick of it, you know?
Put the Hillsong music on.
And
you're away. Very comprehensive. Give us a call. The cleaners at Clean Event has got me.
Yep.
Actually, Tony's got an answer for you. Yeah. Hey, Tony.
How you doing?
Yeah, you're live on air, Tony. Help us with the Clean Event.
There was a Clean Event there the other day, and the guy, Shorten, walked up to say, shake their hands, and they just refused to shake his hand.
There it is.
Thanks for that, Tony. Can I say, even if you don't like the politics, you can shake the hand, can't you?
I would have thought so. It's not hard.
No, I agree.
Just go.
I don't like
There's
that
still
stuff.
Some degree.
Come on, have manners.
You're talking about someone who's
have
running for the
manners.
Prime Minister.
Although it is Bill Shorten. Like, remember when he was on the hustings last time and he said to a woman in the supermarket, what's your favourite lettuce?
Well, that's a good question because there's so many.
See, who said you didn't do your research? That's the stuff we're after. Hang around, Rosie. There's a couple of things we want to ask you.
Adam Rosenbach's with us.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
With Adam Rosenbach still in studio. As well.
That's right. We're just mopping up a couple of bits and pieces. We were talking about Bill Gibson earlier. I know, are you with me up for a GoFundMe page?
Well, I'm happy to help out, but you did talk about she was on Sportsbet.
Yeah.
And I reckon she lost all her money because she bet on herself having cancer. She went all in.
That didn't work out for the best, did it?
She got good odds on that.
She should have known better. Did you do anything for Mother's Day? Dave took his wife to
What's
Indian
wrong with
food.
It? What's wrong with taking my wife to Indian food?
It's not a cheap
wrong.
And cheerful event.
Yeah.
Mother's
that's
Day.
That's not cheap and cheerful.
Anything you can get takeaway, mate.
That's not for Mother's Day.
Have a charco.
Oh, really?
Well, I had to do a drive-by Mother's Day appearance because I was sent on the hustings, yes. So I was very busy. But I heard an ad the other day, and tell me whether you'd be into this, Jane. Mm-hmm. It was an ad on the radio for Sexyland, and they were spruiking, it's a great place for a Mother's Day gift. Now, if you're buying Mum a present from Sexyland, you should also buy 5 years of therapy to go along with that.
I certainly agree, and it was on our radar too because I think we might have been advertising it, and we thought that was weird.
We've got to go. Short for time. Just before we do, we were playing the game. 6 live concerts you've been to, one that you've made up. Give us yours.
Metallica, Nirvana, Rage Against the Machine, Slayer, Garbage, Nickelback.
Oh.
Nickelback.
I'm going Nickelback. Has to be Nickelback. Unless you want us to say Nickelback. You want us to say Nickelback. Nickelback.
It is Nickelback.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't take you for a Nickelback.
I know you too well.
Damn.
Good on you, Rosie. Thanks for swinging by, mate. See you Saturday night.
You will.
We're doing a gig together.
Good luck. Go on.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to the HSV Chevrolet Silverado.
Oh, isn't it a wonderful car?
We love it.
Or a truck.
It's a behemoth, as you say. That's the word I like.
Work truck.
It's more than a work truck, Dave.
Oh, well.
I mean, that's one of its many brands, one of its many faces. Mm-hmm. It's a work truck. It's an after-work truck. I would drive that thing to the Oscars, to the Logies.
Right.
I would get out in the red car. Well, everybody I would throw the keys to the guy in the front door.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would enter with the hottest bird possible.
Right. So it pulls chicks, that's what you're saying.
Well, it has to.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Have you seen it?
It has to.
Chick Magnet.
Right, okay.
Was the other name they were going to go with. They went with Silverado, but they could have gone quite plainly with Chick Magnet.
I was talking to some tradies today about actually. Yeah. I was calling by my house.
Okay.
I'm doing renovation.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I said, and they'll have Triple M, of course, on. Yeah. And I said, hey, have you heard about the HSV Chevrolet Silverado? Yeah. And they go, I've heard you talking about it. I said, wait till you rock up on site with one of these. And they go, is it really good? I said, you've got no idea. It'll blow your mind when you see it.
If you rocked up on set, as I like to say, on set, on site with the tradies, and you heard that, you'd be promoted.
Yeah.
You would get a promotion.
People would go,
this is the best tradie in town.
Yep. So I got to explain it to them. I said all the colours they had.
Oh, yes.
Ah, yes.
Beautiful, stunning. I mean, you might as well go all out.
You got to go. You got to go hard. Dave, you know you were saying it was a work car or an after-work car.
Or
as I said, you could take it to the black tie opening.
Mm. Yes.
Just as at home. Snaking its way through the Kimberley.
Correct.
On the track between Broome to Kananara. Owning the joint.
Yeah, it would.
You wouldn't even know if you're off-road or on-road because it's that big. It's
music
that beautiful.
Blaring on the beautiful sound system.
Your hose,
Oh, be
take
awesome.
Me there. Take me there now. Well done, Holden Silverado.
Thank you.
HSV.
Yes.
And it could tow the shit out of anything.
Okay, we love it.
All right. What have we got to close?
Well, you know, we were talking before about quiet mode is going to be introduced possibly on Uber, which means you tick the box before you get in the car, and it means that the driver cannot talk to you.
That's right, yes.
And,
that's right.
We put it out on Twitter. It said, Kennedy Malloy says, Uber has just announced quiet mode where you can ask for your driver not to talk to you. And you said, something the Stefanovic brothers should probably look into. We've had a reply from Georgie Gardner.
Oh, okay.
And she simply says, you reckon? Good on you, Georgie.
Well done, Georgie.
Don't forget the Today Show tomorrow, everybody.
That's in quiet mode.
No, it's not. Is. Don't you do that. It's We're giving her a big boost now. So. Come on.
Hey, Peter Garrett is going to join us in studio tomorrow.
Peter Garrett, Midnight Oil.
Kennedy Malloy.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.